Psalm 19. God's witness, number one, in the sky. Number two, in the scriptures. Number three, in the soul. Number four, by His Son. Put up your hand if you've ever been on an aeroplane. Put up your hand if you've ever had a miserable Monday. Well, Monday the 14th of January was miserable and I had to go on an aeroplane to a city and back in one day, and I didn't want to go. I thought it was a waste of time and I was totally frustrated. I got up at 4:30 in the morning, and if you can remember way back then, at least around Liverpool, there was rain and there was fog and there was smog and there was ice and there was snow. And I arrived at Manchester Airport to get this aeroplane flight. An announcement came across the tannoy. The plane is delayed. Typical. So you wait round, getting more and more frustrated. Till eventually we're told we can get on the aeroplane. Do you know what it's like getting on the aeroplane? You know, all you want to do is put your coat in the compartment above. So you try, and there's people pushing past you and people terribly impatient. Anyway, I sat down by the window at last, thinking, what am I doing here? Then the notice comes. This is the captain speaking. You know this plane has been delayed because of bad weather. So we can expect some turbulence. Oh no. Outside it's greasy, thick smog. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And I've got some turbulence to come. Anyway, the plane starts off along the runway, zooming along. Then it's liftoff. And I'm looking out the window, and all I can see as the plane's going like this, and I'm feeling sick, all I can see is smog and fog and thick cloud and damp and wet. And it's going through all this cloud until suddenly it emerges above the clouds. And above this dark, smoggy, mushy mess, the sky is brilliantly blue. And the sun is shining in all of its glory. And that miserable Monday, these words came to my mind. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the earth, its circuit to the other end of the earth, and nothing is hidden from its heat. God's witness in the sky. David had never been on an aeroplane. Maybe when he penned this psalm, he was just a shepherd boy out in the fields. And maybe one morning he saw the sun rise and looked after his sheep, and at the end of the day he saw the sun set. Or maybe he was out doing the night shift and he would look up into the sky and see those stars. And of a day, Professor Sun would come out and give his morning, afternoon and evening lecture. And every evening, Dr. Stars would come out and give his evening lecture. His middle of the night lecture. So the whole world, and there wasn't a word spoken. Yet everyone in the whole world was a witness to this unmistakable and universal witness. And you know, David, he never had a telescope. And you know, David, he never, ever knew anything at all about the Hubble spacecraft. So he wouldn't know, would he, that the moon was not, the sun was 93 million miles away? He wouldn't know. Listen to this. This is amazing. 490,000 miles an hour, just our galaxy spins. And it takes 200 million years to make one rotation of our galaxy. Unbelievable. He didn't know what the Hubble spacecraft has told us, that somewhere way out beyond there, there's a blanket of stars, listen to this, 40 billion light years long, 20 billion light years deep, 10 billion light years wide. And a light year is about a trillion miles. And if you and I could travel at the speed of light, listen to this, 7 times round the earth in 1 second. 186,000 miles per second. 7 times round the earth in a second, in a blink. He didn't know any of that. But he knew that the heavens declared the glory of God. And day unto day was uttering speech, and night unto night was showing knowledge. What's more, he said the sun is like a man who's just got married to the woman of his dreams. And he spent the night with the woman of his dreams, and the next morning he gets out of bed and he's bounding away to go and make some breakfast for her. Or he says, it's like an athlete who's been training for the Olympics, pumping the iron, and now he's fit as a fiddle and twice as tuneful, and now he's got his kit on and he's running the race and he's winning the gold. That's the sun in its rise, in its course, in its setting, every day rejoicing to do the will of God, coming out of its chamber, running its race, winning the crown, declaring to the world that God is, and God is glorious. Number two, God's witness in the scriptures. Listen to what it says. Read it in your Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now I need your help, and I don't need any blanks, and I don't need any pauses. I want you to guess what's in my left-hand pocket. One guess. Quickly. One guess. Quickly. Pardon?
A phone.
A phone.
Money.
A hanky.
Keys.
There's four. Come on, quick. One. Me hand. What else? Hanky. What else?
Cross.
What else?
Sweets.
No. What else? Keyring, there's 10 and you're all wrong. What would any self-respecting Liverpool man do coming to preach in Leeds without having Little Miss Happy? And what's more, I got Little Miss Happy from this very shop today. You see, the thing is, you all guessed what was in my pocket. But you all guessed wrong. Now imagine guessing about God and being completely wrong. The fact is, you could have said, I don't want to guess, I want you to show me what's in your pocket. And you will all bear witness to what's in my pocket. Do you know the Bible says God's witness is in the scripture. He has shown us what he is like. So we don't have to guess. And look what this young boy, David, says. He's never been to theological college. He doesn't have letters after his name. David had never been to a theological college. And yet look what he says. He speaks about the word of the Lord, God's witness in the scriptures. He talks about the authority of the scriptures. Look, he calls it the law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the fear, the ordinances of the Lord. This isn't the word of men or the words of clever men. or the words of great men, or even just the words of holy men. It is the inspiration, the inspired word of the Lord. And the authority of God's word comes from the fact that it is God speaking to us through his prophets, by his Spirit. Amazing. What's more, he tells us about the quality of God's word. Look what it says. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, trustworthy, righteous, radiant, pure, sure, righteous, altogether. What quality is found in this book? He tells us, thirdly, of the validity of it. Look, it revives the soul. It makes wise the simple. It gives joy to the heart. It gives light to the eyes. Heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauties shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his. He is mine. When God, by his Spirit, comes into our hearts, he revives our soul, he converts us, he enlightens our eyes, he makes us, when we were simple to his truth, alive and wise to his truth. He opens our eyes to see things we've never seen before, our ears to hear things we've never seen before. And it's found in God's word. And David, he is telling us about the authority and quality and validity. Not only so, he tells us about the sufficiency of God's word. Look what it says. It says this: they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold, and sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. You know, David, if he was out in the field and feeling hungry, he would go to a honeycomb and find that there was this sweet honey which would satisfy him. It would be just sufficient for just his need, just at that time. Do you know, David, when he eventually became king, he became a king of a golden kingdom. So a king would want gold. And yet he found that his pleasure was in the honey, and his treasure in the gold was nothing compared to the honey and treasure of God's word, which was all sufficient for him. And then he tells us about the ministry of the word. Look what it says. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That's the ministry of God's word. When you take the Bible seriously, it warns you. Danger ahead. Don't live this way. Don't go that way. It rewards you with a blessing and favor and smile and life abundant and life eternal to all those who take God's word and hide it in their heart. Someone once said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. How true that is. And here is David. He's saying, God's witness is in the sky. God's witness is in the scripture. He tells us of its authority and quality and validity and sufficiency and ministry. And now thirdly, he tells us of God's witness in the soul. Look what he says. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Verse 12. Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Look what he's doing now. David is praying, isn't he? He's praying. He's praying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive my hidden faults. Make me innocent of great transgression. Forgive me. Do you know what else he's saying? Keep me. Keep me from doing wrong. Keep me from presumptuous sins. Do you know what else he's praying? Lord, accept me. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here he is, praying from the very depth of his soul. He's praying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, keep me. Lord, accept me. John Paul Sartre was an atheist. He said these words: God does not exist. That I declare. But that my whole being cries out for him, I can't deny. He said, I don't feel like a product of causes. In other words, I don't feel like just a collection of atoms, a random, fortuitous concurrence of atoms in a causeless and impersonal universe. No, here is someone crying out to God. Do you know that song? You can make a statement, take a fact and prove it true. You can take a number, make a rule and work it through. But things in life don't always work that way. As I cannot prove that you love me or measure up if I love you. You cannot experiment to show that God is there. You can't put God in a test tube. You can't prove that God exists. You can't invite the Almighty to come and sit on the chair. And let's take the Almighty's vital statistics. God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. How great a being, Lord, is thine, which doth all beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only line to sound so vast a deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a sun without a sphere. Your time is now and evermore. Your place is everywhere. How could you measure that which is immeasurable? The Bible never tries to prove God, and you and I should never try. The Bible declares God is. And that song goes, you cannot experiment to show that God is there, but you can't deny Him when you start to say a prayer. Hearts will reach for God, like trees for the sun. Don't you know He wants to be your friend, even though you couldn't care? And here's God's witness in the soul. The soul crying out to God. God's witness in the sky, God's witness in the scripture, God's witness in the soul. Listen to this. God's witness in the sun. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, you'll find out who that rock is. It is the rock of ages, cleft for me. It is none other than Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, the rock of our salvation. And not only so, it says, you are my redeemer, the one who bought me back, the one who brought me back, the one who brings me to God. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and we may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Jesus, my Redeemer. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, the lover of my soul. Robert Richard Wilson was a genius. Everybody thought so. He was a world famous linguist. He knew more languages than you and I could even think of. But he wanted to prove once and for all, or try to show once and for all, that God's word was utterly reliable. So do you know what he did? He spent 15 years of his life learning the Bible off by heart in English. Amazing. Not only so, off by heart in Hebrew and Aramaic and various dialects of the Hebrew. Then he learned the New Testament off by heart in Greek. Amazing. Then he spent another 15 years doing archaeological fact-finding, digging deep, finding artifacts that substantiate the claims of the Bible. Then he spent 15 years writing up research, testing it, testing it, testing it, testing it. He became an expert, a world expert. At the time, there were those who were called the higher critics. And they were terrified of Robert Richard Wilson because he was a genius. He would hold court and people would sit there taking down everything he said. As he's giving a lecture one day, he stops. And a tear started to roll down his eye, down his face. He said, I can see that all of you believe the Bible because of these facts that I can give you. Let me tell you why I believe the Bible. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Put up your hand if you've ever heard of Helen Keller. Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. She lived in a screaming world of utter frustration. She became, you remember, a world-famous expert later on, because one woman, and there are some people here like this, one woman by the name of Anne Sullivan decided never to give up on young Helen Keller and started to write letters on her hand and then teach her Braille, then eventually make sounds. One day, Helen Keller was introduced to Philip Bliss. He was a hymn writer and a preacher. He started to tell her about Jesus. As he starts to tell her, she said, I know him. I know him. I just didn't know his name. He was in the shadows. One of the most moving experiences of my life happened just a couple of years ago. I went to a small room where an old man, a very smelly old room, a man who was dying. And as I'm sitting there, this man's eyes light up. He's dying and he begins to sing. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find Jesus. He's the one who really loves and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. And I love him. Oh, I love him. Since for me, he bled and died. And I love him. Yes, I love him. More than all this world beside. God's witness in the sky. God's witness in the scriptures. God's witness in the soul. God's witness in his Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at the sky and praise him. Look at the stars and praise him. Get to his word and learn it. Keep communing with heaven. And love Jesus more than anyone or anything else in this world. Because he loves you. Knowing the worst about you, he loves you passionately, unconditionally, eternally. Let us pray. For him who loved us and gave himself for us, thank you. Help us worship him today in his precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. We're going to be singing a song.